Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The year is 2001.
Cher was giving us living proof.
Banana the snake was sitting somewhere in a cold cage at the Bronx Zoo, not knowing his life would soon change.
Christian contemporary artist Katie Hudson was selling less than 200 copies of her debut album.
Who?
Katie Hudson, otherwise known as Katy Perry.
Oh.
She made her Christian effort in 2001.
Oh, that's nice.
Nobody knew.
Those who thought young said, Pepsi, please.
Hey.
Hey, I'm T. Kyle.
Hey, I'm Bradley Stern.
This is our new brand. Yeah, no.
No, that's not going to work.
Hey, I'm T. Kyle.
And I'm Bradley Stern.
And this is It's Britney, Bitch.
A podcast for stans.
By stans.
Dedicated to 20 years of the living legend, Britney Jean Spears.
Okay, so 2001, a lot happened.
It's a whopper.
Year. This is a big year.
It's a huge year. There are so many incredible performances.
Mm-hmm.
This is, if you thought 2000 was the peak, honey.
This was, I mean, huge performances, massive tour, special
God.
Album,
Super
VMAs,
Bowl.
Super Bowl, casual.
Super casual. She did it all.
This is a big year.
This is a huge year. You're not ready.
Well, I feel like we should start off similar to how Britney started off this era with the VMAs 2001.
2001 VMAs?
The moment
Heard
that
of her.
Kicked off the Britney third album era.
Yes.
With a performance of Slave for You.
Yes. So why don't we talk about the moment leading up to the moment? Because of how fresh, cool, and unique it was. So Britney was deep in teen pop land and made it very clear she wanted to go something more urban, something more adult. And so began the Britney era when she appeared in teasers for the VMAs, practicing for something. And then it was announced that she would be debuting a song rather than performing a hit.
And no one knew what the song was.
Nobody knew what the song was.
This was like, this was unheard of for any, I mean, looking to today, people don't do that. They don't debut a song at a massive award show.
They don't do it because she did it. And then they said, we can't do it.
Well, yeah. I watched this live and...
I watched this live as well, yes.
I'm going to say that... From start to finish, this is probably her best performance in history. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely perfect. Every element from costume, dance, body, the subtle mix that they did with the lightning and the owls and the rain and everything fitting with the dancers, the costumes, the production, the shock value. This is probably one of the best live television performances in the history of Earth. I'm going to go that big.
Yeah, just objectively speaking, yes. Mm-hmm. It is perfect. And the thing about it that is so crazy to me is that the Getty images from it, the captures from it, like every single frame is beautiful.
It's perfect.
Every picture from it is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Like, obviously... Other performances were all great, but like everything happened as it should perfectly. The snake had all odds against it to lash out or like, I don't know, freeze up or pull an Asia O'Hara and pass out on the floor because of the temperature. You don't know.
Well, before even getting to the snake, she starts this performance in a cage with a fucking live tiger.
The tiger.
And there's nothing. I don't even. Was that? I can't see.
No, he's just hanging.
Even chained.
I don't
down.
Think. So. No, I think like he's just being held by a leash.
She was in a cage where literally she could have been mauled to death by a tiger on live television.
Mauled to death, but the tiger just was like, "That's that Britney, bitch."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch it back and I'm like, oh, there must have been, you know, something separating it. No, she is full on 2 feet away from a wild animal.
Yeah.
Tiger.
And super chill. Dying inside, but super chill outwardly.
First we saw of Tiger Knee.
Tiger Knee. She saw that tiger and was like,
she was inspired for life.
That would be a good flash opener for my website. Yes. Eye of the Tiger Knee. Yeah, I think Tiger is slightly overlooked. Mm-hmm. I think he needs a lot more credit for his appearance. And of course, we have Banana the Snake. And there was this like wild pursuit of Banana. And we found out that a Banana was okay, I think, a few years ago. I don't know if Banana still is, but...
I don't know.
We're going to say timeless and Banana will live on forever. Yeah, so.
I can't believe Britney Spears invented snakes.
I cannot believe literally before this, there were not snakes.
No. No. God on that day said, I'm going to create snakes.
Yes.
And they fell from the sky and landed on Britney's shoulders. And
if you watch the performance, that is what happens after a clap of thunder.
Yes.
Yeah, it is the best. And sometimes, for some reason, I like hesitate to call it my favorite just because it's too perfect, which I think is unfair. Right. But it's like the standard. So I find it really boring for that to be the favorite almost. You know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but I do think objectively it is the greatest.
Yes. Execution wise, a lightning in a bottle moment.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. It's just everything went right.
Yes.
Yeah. And also zero fucking celebrity audience reactions distract you for the past 5 years.
The other thing too about watching this is that it's filmed so well.
It's very intense and dramatic, and like you're close up to her almost the whole time.
Right. And I mean, compared to, I would say, the VMAs of the past couple years,
they're just looking for shady GIF reactions. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I used to work at MTV. I have no disrespect to any of my former coworkers or anyone that's involved in the production. I am just being completely
honest.
You're
all being assholes.
No, I I, as a stan of the MTV days, I watch these back and I'm like, the cinematography is perfect. The way the cameras are angled are planned out. Like when she gets the snake and when she's with the tiger and the dance moves and the breaks and the costumes, it's all, every single frame of this performance is like it was shot for a live performance. I mean, not a live, it was a fucking live. You know what I'm saying?
And now it almost feels like they like blow their load on like one superstar performance to do that for and no one else. Like I feel like Beyonce kind of got that treatment in 2016.
But I feel like she controls that because she knows she wants that because she has an artistic eye.
Yeah.
She and that's what these felt like.
Yeah. I feel like Kendrick also got that recently where it felt so movie-like.
So artistic.
Yeah. And it was like, all performances should look like this and probably would look like this if they were shot correctly.
Yeah. Not a single celebrity reaction shot in this performance.
No, there's no time for
that. Not even audience reaction shots.
You know, it was different with Hollywood and Madonna because that was like meant to sort of titillate and be shocking that these people are teaming up and look at all their rivals and their exes in the crowd watching
those
them.
Those were planned. So like, those were all they had the iconic shots, the camera shots, and then they had worked in the reaction shots.
They got all the reactions from like, look at Avril, her nemesis, allegedly, you know, like, look at Justin. Like it was like very like, this is almost like a back and forth.
Yes.
Thank God this didn't happen in 2018. It would be 30 shots of like Frankie Grande jumping up and down. Sorry, Frankie.
And also this is, I feel like the first, not the first time she danced, but we got she danced hard in this one. It was sharp. Yeah. It was, the dancers were incredible. I mean, this was like a really sharp, heavy dance number.
Yeah, this is where she sets the bar for herself and screws herself, because everyone's like, well, she's not dancing like 2001 Britney, because that was like an impossible standard to maintain for many years after that. Yeah, no, everything was flawless, everything was perfect, and nothing hurt. She truly did that, and that kicked off the Britney era.
It did.
And what an era it is. I think maybe we can talk about the album now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the VMAs was the introduction of Slay for You.
Yeah, that was like September 2001.
There was really no other moments. I don't want to say that because I might be.
There's plenty of moments as far as so Super Bowl, that was earlier in the year, obviously.
Yes,
but as far as like Britney era kicked off September, so everything before that was iconic commercials, mm-hmm. big performances. But yeah, this was the start of something new.
Well, speaking of Super Bowl.
I've heard of it.
Before we jump into Britney, we'll quickly back up to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really wasn't anything related to like her own music or anything.
Nope.
But that was the Pepsi, Joy of Pepsi.
The Joy of Pepsi.
We got a performance and we got Pepsi.
We got so much Pepsi in 2001. We got Now and Then, The Generations. And then we got The Joy of Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got two commercials in the same year. And
both equally great.
Both equally great.
Great commercials.
Yes. Kendall Jenner, take a lesson. Take a note.
The Super Bowl, she performed with Aerosmith.
Aerosmith and NSYNC.
Mary J.
Yeah.
And she did their song. She didn't do anything.
She was just...
Nothing Britney.
Yeah. She had the sock arms, which were...
Skinny.
Skinny.
So skinny.
Very skinny. An homage to maybe... I don't know, Avril, skater boy culture, maybe. It was a bit punk rock.
Mm-hmm. It was sporty.
It was sporty.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She wears her socks on her hands, not on her legs.
Yeah.
She's different.
She's a different
kind
of girl.
She plays soccer.
She's an edgy girl. She wears socks on her arms. Yeah, it was cool that she was there. It doesn't feel like Britney played the Super Bowl in the same way that...
No. Because it wasn't about her. Mm-mm. It was about Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And which I thought was really cool.
I think that's why, well, the fans are always thirsty for everything, but I think they want her own set still, right. Which that's a whole other debate. About.
And this also gave us, well, also too, I mean, back to Legends Only.
Right.
This was another step in the Legends Only.
Yeah. Cleared that path early.
Yeah. I mean, she really is, you know, she covers Legends. Mm-hmm. She performs with Legends.
Yeah.
And she's one of the only people to make a Pepsi song that could have been a single.
Could have been a single.
And would have been a smash.
And goes down so well when you're DJing. The Joy of Pepsi. The people turn the fuck out.
Oh, yeah.
Like everyone
gets into it. Crazy. Everyone screams it.
I have an extended mix of it because people want more.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Let me
so
tell
good.
You have not lived until you come to Manhattan for a Britney night that Brad is DJing when Joy of Pepsi comes on.
It's crazy. I drop it at midnight.
It is unlike anything else.
It's so funny because that's all of a sudden like the people who don't know me or know that it was even like that kind of a stand night. Like you see reactions of people being like, oh, this goes deep like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun. The Pepsi commercials. We should talk about why they generate such a reaction. I mean, the Joy of Pepsi is just that song.
Yeah, it's at the core.
Yeah.
It is a bop.
It is a bop.
And it just so happens to be sponsored content for Pepsi.
It certainly is. It's a double win for Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
The commercial is absolutely flawless. This was just the era that the power came through and she was so fierce and dominant. And that's like where my stand-up like kicked it up a notch because she was so fucking aggressive. She rips off her Pepsi thing, flies into the factory, does her dance. She's so joyful. The little goofy face in that one quick shot. Like, ugh, it's everything you can want. She's like masculine, aggressive, and also like super cutesy, funny. She's the perfect girl.
It was really confident this year. It was aggressive.
Yes. Yeah.
She went hard.
Yep.
It was much more active in terms of the performances, circuit, and live television performances.
Yep.
And everything just felt like more epic.
Completely.
This year.
Yeah. This is such an untouchable year. I just think about everything and it's like...
There's so much.
Yeah. Like I can't even, you know, like sometimes we could be cheeky about like her performances or, you know, things weren't as iconic as they used to be. But like this was the year that really shut everyone up and like she set the bar. It's very impressive to look at everything and just be like, this was all in one year. So there was the Joy of Pepsi.
Mm-hmm. I have a life-size cardboard cutout.
You do.
Of this year.
Yep.
Of the Pepsi SponCon.
So iconic. They brought it back for another round.
They did.
Yeah. They brought the Pepsi
the
Generations.
One?
Well, yeah, they like show it still. They did this campaign.
They include the...
But it's Legends only.
Right.
It's like true. Michael, Britney, and Stevie Wonder, I think. And that's like it. Like that's part of this new campaign. Because they know we're so thirsty for the Super Bowl. They're like, well, we're not going to do that.
Let's tease them.
We'll put her on a can again. I'll take it. I'll collect them all.
I still don't have one. I just have the cardboard cutout. The original cardboard cutout.
You have to go to a local grocery shop and get some Pepsi. Any locals out there that want to send us?
Are you a local at home?
Are you a local?
We're looking for Pepsi cans.
Are you a Pepsi drinking local?
Oh my God.
So the joy of Pepsi is one, but then there's Pepsi Now and Then, which really played into her love of playing characters. Mm-hmm. She fucking loves it.
And just shout out to Pepsi for a brilliantly concepted...
Brilliant concept. Going through all the generations. Mm-hmm.
All the wigs.
Every wig. Foreshadowing If You Seek Amy with the 50s look. Like, that is...
It is.
The same look.
It is exactly the same.
Yeah.
She probably kept the wig, honestly.
It's probably the same outfit, and I just don't remember.
Honestly, it probably is.
Yeah. It's... That is
she had
it.
The pink top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what if it really is?
I don't think it's exact.
Well, maybe.
But it's
never
definitely...
know. She's known to wear...
She's certainly...
A used look.
Reused.
Decades later.
She'll wear a casual shirt as an outfit at her recent outings. But I think that while not, you know, the song is not as, it's more disjointed and you can't really like, I do play it at the bar still, but it's not like as sing-alongable.
Right. Like that's the commercial.
Yeah.
The other one is the song.
The song.
With the accompanying music video commercial.
Yeah. I live for the now era of the generations look that like ripped to shreds jeans and tatters everywhere.
So 2000s,
and it's so cool and so Britney.
We used to watch it, and I have this very distinct memory of this girl. Her name was Allie, and she was also a Britney stan, but she was also so mean. But she stanned Britney, so I was like, okay,
fine.
I have this very vivid memory of us on these old ass computers with like, was it Windows Media Player?
Yep.
Or like Winamp?
Both.
Or one of those ones that was Real Player?
Yeah.
Those old school ones, you know?
And you'd never have the right plugin, ever.
And we used to watch this, and she would try and learn the dance.
Okay.
And I secretly always wanted to be up there. I wanted to do that. But I just sat in my chair. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Do
supported
it.
Supported it. But that's another memory that I have of that.
I remember trying to perfect that wink at the end.
Yes.
For those who think young. Yeah, it's like, it's a perfect holding of the can and the wink and the side eye. It's a Britney-ism. Impossible to recreate perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very defining commercial.
It was. Still holds up.
Still holds up, please. Like, we don't need any more.
Well, speaking of other performances.
Yes.
And Lynch, because there's really so many from this year.
There are. I'm thinking of another one that is deeply underappreciated.
Go for it.
The 2001 American Music Awards performance of Stronger.
Yes.
Which I think it just gets no love.
No.
Nobody knows about it.
Nope.
Except for stans. It's...
The photos get love, I feel like.
The photos get love. I mean, it is her most head-banging, hair-whipping performance that she's ever done. And the concept is really cool. It's like living her full rock and roll fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll fantasy available at Kohl's. I think, is that a name of one? I think it is. Oh, Rocker Fantasy. Yeah.
We could name anything that's already been made.
Well, Stronger Fantasy in 2001 was truly fabulous. The mix is so cool.
So good.
Especially when she turns into this like growling Marilyn Manson. She's like, I'm stronger. Like, well, are you kidding me? Completely amazing. She spoils us because she gives us completely different reinterpretations of her songs the second they come out. She performs them way differently live every time. Every time.
Every time.
Every time. That performance specifically is so good.
It's also very different than everything else she was doing.
It was.
Like, it wasn't... Like, the other ones were sexy. And
sexy this slave, one was like almost all of them.
Rocker. And she went so hard with
she did.
The dancing and the head whipping and the...
Yeah.
I mean, this was like the first time we got like Britney holding a mic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Very strange.
Versus it being around because normally it's around her ear mm-hmm. and like in front, you know, the iconic classic. Britney, yeah. But this was, she was holding it.
Yeah. I would actually, that performance would have translated really well at the Super Bowl. It's like super mask.
Yes.
And it's like, it would have worked.
It would have, and it would have gone well with Aerosmith. Like it could have blended really well.
Out Larry, of what the fuck?
Well, where were we?
Where were we?
We were on our couches at home, shaking.
It's true. But had we been calling the shots, mm-hmm. that would have been amazing for the Super Bowl.
It would have.
There was another performance that year in the middle of a body of water.
Yes. The Billboard Awards.
Yes.
The first maybe time we got Vegas, Nay.
Yeah.
Might have been her first dabble.
Yeah, I think so.
She performed literally on a stage in the middle of the Bellagio.
Yep. Yep. Is that Bellagio Fountains?
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored. Fountains are always sponsoring podcasts. Yeah. I'm so tired of fountain ads.
Squarespace.com/Bellagio. Yeah, she performed on a stage in the middle of this pond that's huge and has fountains. and
reservoir.
Did Slave for You. Full start to finish.
Full Slave.
Music video choreo.
Mm-hmm.
The fountains were synced to Slave for You.
Impressive.
I would love to interview whoever it was who had to schedule that. Sitting there scheduling every little squirting fountain to the beat of Slave for You.
I think the impressive feat, we were talking about this, is also like there's no way she heard anything.
Oh, no.
So I don't really know. I mean, I guess they could have been like on a boat blasting it nearby or something, but like I don't really, maybe she had an earpiece. I don't
probably,
but even still, you've got to hear the roar of the fountains behind you. Mm-hmm. And Vegas is loud, and yes. I don't really understand really how she kept it in sync that well.
No, and this one also was shot very well.
Yes,
I remember it was like very dramatic with the yeah. fountains, and it was like just super dramatic. Awful pants though. Those pants.
Not the best pants.
Look it up right now. Hit pause and type in.
Check out the pants.
Billboard 2001 Slave for You.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be like, oh, the pants and the gloves got to go. But other than that.
And they actually, they worked better. She basically borrowed them, I believe, from Dream Within a Dream.
Yeah, there was something similar.
Yeah, but... yeah. When speaking of, I mean, Dream Within a Dream, which we will get into.
Yeah, because that's a.
Fully.
That's a big one.
In 2002, so stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. But also continuing with the theme of legends only
mm-hmm.
and performances
yes.
this year, she performed with the one, the only Michael Jackson.
MJ, King of Pop.
Madison Square Garden, The Way You Make Me Feel.
30th anniversary, Michael Jackson celebration. The person he brings out is Britney.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a torch passing moment, I think, much like Madonna with Britney with the kiss. It was just such a validation.
Yes.
Like, this is the princess of pop. Like, this is the person who is the rightful heir right. to the throne. Physical performance. However, she looks astonishingly good.
She fucking served
the slightly sexed up hair.
And she literally does nothing other than walk back and forth
struts.
From stage left to stage right. And it's the legs.
The legs for days.
The walk is just...
And it totally serves the purpose of, like, hot girl walking down the street that you can't stop staring at. Mm-hmm.
She almost played a little bit of a character.
She did.
With Michael.
Lord knows she loves it. Yeah, she absolutely did. She was like, look at that guy. She's, like, making mocking faces at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just doing his Michael thing, and the crowd's going crazy for her. It was very validating, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we did get vocals.
We did.
Yeah. They're good.
We got a cover. Half cover.
Yeah, we did. We got a cover. And I think, you know, they hit the stage together again in at the VMAs to present an award. And he, like, held her hand. All very, like, validating moments.
Mm-hmm. Also, too, going, I mean, sort of touching on that performance, but then also the VMAs and also these other ones, I felt like she was very fearless this year.
Yes.
Like, obviously, like, the getting theme. In a cage with mm-hmm. a fucking tiger,
mm-hmm.
which she would never do now.
No, she's made it very clear that she hated the snake and right. she hated every moment of that performance.
Right, but like that, and then also too, I mean, to be on stage with someone who is an actual... We throw around legend a lot.
We do.
But this is, you know, different. This is actual.
Like, when we're talking serious legends, we're talking Michael Jackson, Britney Spears.
Yes. Madonna.
Willa Ford.
Oh, yes. Heidi Montag.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's true.
I felt like she was so fearless this year. And 2000 gave us, I felt like, the stamp of superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2001 was really, she knew it. She was confident and yeah. she was fearless.
Yeah.
And she went into all these performances. I mean, the Super Bowl with Aerosmith, just the look on her face. There's not yeah. an ounce where she was ever scared.
If she was nervous, we didn't know it.
No.
Yeah.
We did not know it.
We sure know it these days.
Right.
But then?
But back then, there was not a ounce of fear mm-hmm. in her eye. She was
super
on fire.
Inspiring. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why it's like, I can't even joke about the performance because when I watch them, I'm like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
she really did that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're all so different this year. Every single performance yeah. really was so different.
They're so varied.
It's not like now where you kind of get, you
work
know,
bitch.
Yeah. Like the similar, like it's kind of like the same thing. Like,
yeah.
That, you know, people will repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This was, I mean, you look at all these performances, just go to, I mean, you'll be on YouTube for 15,000 hours. Mm-hmm. We almost got caught in a
we did
before this did. But you look at every single one and everything from the stage to the dancers, her costume, the way that they produce it, the edit, the mix, they all are their own work of art.
Yes, they are artney. Squatty Potty's next. We just have to think of a good one.
Are you thinking of a fake ad for Squatty Potty?
Wait, I know one too. Hold on, I just need to, like, get myself still and, like, get in the zone for this one. We got them candles hanging from the ceiling low. We use our bodies to make our own videos. Put on our music that makes us go fucking crazy, oh. Go crazy, oh. Like a Squatty Potty.
Oh, that song is ruined now. Oh my God, Tinashe's career is canceled.
Oh my
never
God.
Gonna recover from that. Like a Squatty Potty. Oh my God, it's ruined. It's
like a Squatty
Potty. Glory is ruined.
No, no, no. I. we ain't gonna deny I.
Oh my God. Yeah, not gonna sleep because you're gonna be up all night taking a shit. Oh my God.
Like a Squatty Potty. Speaking of art, we should probably get into the actual art from the era.
Yes. Britney.
Yeah, so let's get into the actual album.
So as we discussed, the kickoff of the era,
mm-hmm.
I'm a Slave for You.
Heard of it.
Is the first track.
Yes.
Rightfully so.
Yes.
And
first time she's not naming an album after the song.
Yes.
Yes.
That is true. She really called this one Britney. And I will say that I do think, as we get through the various songs, mm-hmm. I do think that was a good title.
It was.
This album.
Because arguably it was her most personal to date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, the theme is very evident.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a Slave for You, I mean, video
mm-hmm.
really was a turn.
Yes.
And so was the sound. Again, kind of a shocker.
Total shocker. The whole package was a shocker.
Yeah.
Also, never would have happened in 2018.
No.
The title, the animals on stage.
Right.
None of this would have happened.
Nope.
Luckily, it is generally accepted and known that she's
unproblematic, innocent, humble,
and that the theme of the song was in a bondage domination
right.
setting completely. But yeah, never would have passed in 2018.
No, not at all.
So yeah.
Again, though, similar to Oops,
mm-hmm.
I was introduced to this music video via making the video.
Yes. Yep. The slow motion walk through the
mm-hmm.
through the hallway that she had to sing fast.
Yes. The green screen.
I was fascinated by that.
This is really, I mean, making the video really was where I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Green. They stand in front of green and then they just are in a magic other place. How does that happen? And now I'm like, I can put myself in the Scream and Shout
you
music
have
video.
One. Yeah, mm-hmm. you sure
Iconic.
Have.
Oh
my God, I forgot.
Yeah, but I feel like also too, what I think, like why I stan is I think about a lot of these early shows because you get this video that is so shocking and so sexual and out there. But the lead up to it where they're making the video, you see that she's such a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
She's so goofy.
Yeah. That's why, that is why we stan.
Has her insecurities.
Yes.
And she's like, oh my, you know, like, and you know, we'll get to Toxic later, but you kind of see where she's like, I don't want to be seen. You know, she's very like, you see where she turns on the pop star.
Yeah.
She's like this nerd,
mm-hmm.
dorky, whatever, and then
Britney Jean.
Yeah, she's Britney Jean, and then she turns on the pop star,
to Britney Spears,
which I think is kind of. I mean, it's why I stan.
It's exactly
it's always you saw it the switch go on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who joined the bandwagon in 2007 generally didn't know who she was because they weren't paying attention, and like you were forced to see her personality then,
right?
Because it was all over TMZ and everything. But before that, I think a lot of people's impression of her was this like, oh, she's this impossibly perfect pop princess, even though we all knew that she was goofy and weird and nerdy and like insecure, as you said, behind the scenes. And that's like what was endearing about it. So for Slave, she was 19 and performing this completely grown up sounding song that could have gone to Janet.
Yes.
Very easily. Pharrell, you know, worked on this.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say he might have fallen off in recent years with recent productions. It's up for debate, but certainly at this stage of the game, he was really at the top of his game.
Really, it was just a great kickoff to this album.
Yeah.
A solid start.
It's such a sonic shift that really shook us all up.
Yeah. And then we have track two, where we go into Overprotected, the radio edit. Which there's two versions of Overprotected.
Yes.
Which some may not know. There's the original version.
Yeah.
And then there's the Dark Child remix, which is the one that you see, that you hear in the music video.
Yes.
The one that most people are probably thinking. There's two music videos, two songs. One is much more, I think, Britney.
Yeah.
The original one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Dark Child remix is much more, I think, them changing her sound.
Mm.
And kind of going more dance.
Yeah. Overprotected is one of those songs that I feel like, well, sort of by her own fault, it didn't really follow through in later years, even though everyone's been screaming for it to be added to Vegas forever. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had it in a very long time.
No. Well, I also think the meaning of the lyrics of the song.
So Britney.
I almost think she probably doesn't want to bring it up now. Whereas then
maybe
it was... similar to Lucky.
Yeah.
It was one of those things we didn't really notice until after.
Right. She relayed as much that she was feeling overprotected. Also, Dream Within a Dream Flash, I just remember that she performs that with a bald head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the jail bars with the lasers.
Yes.
She's like in the circle and the lasers are on stage and then you see on the screens they're jail bars and she's like punching at them and trying to get out and her hair is changing constantly.
Snatched.
Via, I'm assuming, a green screen, bald cap.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really actually, there's a lot here.
There's a lot.
This year really was a lot.
It was a lot.
A lot of foreshadowing.
Well, yeah, we'll get into the tour. We'll break it down in 2002.
Yeah, but also with Overprotected, one of her best dance breaks in a music video.
I think... the Overprotected dance break is maybe her best dance break in a video.
Music video? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. The pink, what do you call them?
Chaps.
The pink chaps. Flawless. The
cathedral.
Cathedral, hotel, whatever. The flailing sleeves. Like, everything is so dramatic about it. The split. What a perfect dance break.
It's great.
Yep.
That video, it's a good video. And then even the end in the alleyway when it's raining, every time it rains and I get caught in the rain, I'm like ready to get on the ground and start gyrating and singing Overprotected.
I know. She's had a few rain moments, really.
Mm-hmm. Also, in this music video, she sees herself being criticized on the television.
She does.
And turns it off.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly scalped again.
Scalped. It's true.
But this really is the first album where she kind of goes deeper.
She hits back at the haters.
Oh, yeah. This is like the most self-reflective album.
It's the beginning of her tumultuous relationship with the media in the sense that she's actually shading them. Because Lucky was like, poor her, in a way. And now it's like, fuck you.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is the beginning of what some would say rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Overprotected.
Mm-hmm. And then the next track, we have track number three, Lonely.
Love Lonely.
So good.
Love Lonely. It's like so aggressive. And so I saw a comparison to Janet Jackson's What About, which is right on point. It's like very fierce, rocky, angry, electronic.
It is an angry, breakup.
The time that I had.
Yeah. Moment.
Yeah.
Ain't no way I've been alone.
Like, she's scowling. And that's, like, so shocking compared to what we had heard up until that point.
Yeah, because we didn't really get good breakup songs until a couple years later.
She was sad. She was lonely. Mm. Yes.
And also, this one was weird because at the time, she was not broken up.
No, but she did have her high school love gone.
True.
Yeah, she was really expressing a lot of emotion.
Think of all the time that I wasted. Mm-hmm. The next
one. Oh, we'll talk about it in 2002. Never mind. The tour. A lot of the Britney album really brings me to the Dream Within a Dream tour.
Yes. Like, which is why I think this year really is just so much because it carry the. I would say visually this year is so heavy because Dream Within a Dream tour. I mean, maybe we just talk about it all. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree. There's so many things from the album that I think of the Dream Within a Dream DVD.
Right.
The visuals.
Yes.
The meaning of the visuals.
Yeah.
This is really where I feel like, because In the Zone, which is the next album, she
spoiler
was obviously
alert.
So involved in, and it was very self-reflective.
Yeah.
And this is really where we're starting to get a lot of that.
So if we're going to mention it all, Lonely, I associate with her amazing, I think she wants to battle me, like her Britney on Britney dance battle with her screen. So good. Dream Within a Dream tour. Look it up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of self-reflection songs,
Mi
the
reflejo?
Next song.
Oh.
I'm not a girl, not a woman.
Yes. All you need is time. I'm not a girl. Was extremely important for that time, as we will get into Crossroads next year. It was also interesting. It was partially written by Dido, which is strange. She's had some weird co-writers.
I think this song, even just the title of it, almost in a way sums up this period of her career.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the song itself, the way the song sounds, but it just, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman, because this was the time where the media criticism was really picking up and she was transitioning from bubblegum pop to adult in front of everyone's eyes. I mean, mind you, we're going through all of this so fast.
Yeah.
Like, she's at this point in 2 years, she's had 3 albums.
Right.
And is just constantly in the media. And this year is just everything. She had MTV Diary this year, all the making the videos.
Oh my God.
All the performances.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl. I mean, this was really just, she was so in front of the camera constantly 24/7. And this song, I think, sums all that up.
It does. It's crazy. It was released as a single in 2002, but like, it's on the album. That's why we're talking about it. It's just wild that she was only born in 81. So 2001 is when she was 20. So she was only 19. And it's kind of a message that needed to be said, as like basic as it kind of is as a title. She was 19 when everyone was coming for her constantly. And still, I mean, forever. That's the story of her career. So it was a nice little shutdown, I guess.
And it's just, I love this song so much.
All I need.
It's just such a... And the video.
The video.
Is worth applauding and chatting about.
The Grand Canyon. Heard of it?
It's never been grander.
I can't believe she invented the Grand Canyon. Yeah,
she invented mesas. she parted the sand and invented caverns.
She really did that.
Going back to my point that I was saying earlier,
yeah.
I feel like, I mean, all of this is so intertwined this year because I feel like we're going all over the place, but we really, I mean, you have to because it's all so intertwined and this year was so busy.
Yep.
Back to what I was saying before about Fearless.
Yep.
We talk about making the video for this. I mean, I think this also, I remember this making the video being one of the times where I was like so in awe of her bravery and her fearlessness, because this was not green screened.
Right.
She
just hanging on that boulder.
She filmed this live. They put the cameras on helicopters.
Yeah.
She was fucking hanging off the fucking Grand Canyon. Like, so let's just, we start the era. She's in a tiger cage. Could have been mauled to death if the tiger just thought for a split second. She could have been strangled by a snake. She could have fallen off the Grand Canyon.
She could have drowned in the Bellagio fountains.
Iconic. And also with Dream in a Dream, yeah, going on, like, soaking wet on that one platform that flew over.
Well, we will talk about that. She basically had Pink's whole career in 1 year.
Oh, we're going to go there? You really just had to just shove a wedge.
No, we love Pink.
Yes, I stand.
Get down on the ground eventually.
oh my God. No, but like this making the video, I remember they just put a strap around her and they're like, yeah, just kick out a couple feet and just hang your legs over the edge of the fucking cliff. And we're going to send a helicopter up and film you singing Not a Girl, Not a Woman.
Just thinking about it gives me shivers.
Yeah. Cause I mean, obviously now they would green screen someone.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I need to watch it on YouTube. It's such a good.
Yeah.
And she's just so chill, does it.
There was something about this year that just nothing fazed her. Mm-mm. Truly the imperial reign. And also at home, if you either haven't watched in a while or not at all, the making the videos for all of the videos we discuss, you really need to, because mm-hmm. it
shows
shines
a different
light.
Side of her.
It does shine. It shows her as a person, and it shows the stunts that she herself pulls. Like, let's not even get into, you know, the toxic backflips and shit, mm-hmm. you know? Oh, God.
Yes. So the next song, Boys. Another Pharrell moment. Mm-hmm. Also, Austin Powers.
Yes.
Spawn Con a little bit here.
Completely.
So Boys is also something more urban beat for her.
Mm-hmm.
A great beat. This music video might be a couple of my favorite hair looks.
Hair. Oh, my God. I think of the hair before anything else.
Yes.
Yes.
Like the hoops. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's because I'm from New Jersey. That's exactly why I love a hoop.
You don't even need to ask.
The curls and the hoop.
Yeah.
Look. Serve. Yeah. Also, the high pony. Ugh. I love a high pony.
She looked so good in that window scene in the dressing room.
Yeah, she really just served. That dress wasn't cute.
Yeah.
But like it was for like
it was
just,
cute for
it
her.
It was Britney.
Yeah.
That was the style back then.
And we also like the facts are facts. Like she's never been a fashion queen.
No.
It's never been the case.
Yeah. This video was a serve. Again, I mean also to the dancers in this one.
Yeah.
And
oh
just
my
like
God.
The production of it is just so good.
It really is. It's just sort of it's so like glossy 2000s era like
mm-hmm.
flawlessness. It's eye candy.
Yes. The next track, well, because we've been talking so much about Dream Within a Dream Tour, the next song, Anticipating.
Anticipating is basically it's actually like her Janet song. It's just like all for you. It's just like that kind of vibe. Pure joy, pure like disco. And it's interesting that it's on the album because it is kind of a different vibe.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like Oopsie to me.
Mm-hmm.
A little.
Yeah, got quite a moment on Dream Within a Dream.
Oh, yeah. And also they released it, the Dream Within a Dream part, as like a music video kind of.
Yeah.
Like a promotional thing or something.
Yeah.
This look, we're talking about, speaking
fashion
of fashion.
Fashion queen.
She was serving
scraps, but make it work. Scarecrow. Project Runway episode one.
Literally.
Yeah. DIY-ny.
Literally houses drawn in crayon.
Yeah.
Innocently.
It's a little high concept. Not a lot of people get it. So.
Yeah. This was very.
Very cool.
What's that art festival that's in Florida?
In Florida? Oh.
Miami.
Yeah.
Art Basel.
Art Basel.
Yeah, this was very Art Basel.
Very Art Basel-y.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would say so too. I would also like to point out that I own a rare French CD single of Anticipating.
Oh.
That was a single in France. Nobody.
How did it do?
I don't know. Actually, I think it did okay. I don't know if anyone.
How do you say by anticipating on iTunes in French?
Je suis désolé.
Oh,
Coupure électrique. I think that the song would have not done well anyway here.
No.
So it could have been, it was a Euro kind of song.
Yeah,
for
it
sure.
was very Britney to me, but
yeah.
it felt very different from where the sound was moving.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but it's so, it's very roller disco.
Good it is very roller. Doesn't
public
RuPaul
affair.
Tweet about the song all the time?
All the time. And like, I think of RuPaul when I think of the song now.
Yeah.
And that's
always
been recently.
It's like roller disco. And
yeah.
he always tweets about anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
Again, legends.
Legends, supporting only, Legends.
I mean, should we just change the title of this podcast to Legends?
Only, Legends honestly,
on Legends. Yeah, I mean, discussing.
Yes.
Well, and here we go. I mean, Legends only, next track.
Uh-huh.
I Love Rock and Roll.
Well, there you go. Giant guitar. Won't travel everywhere, but...
No.
We don't got the budget for that.
Nope, she kept it in a garage for a couple years.
She kept
it
in the garage. Yeah, I Love Rock and Roll. I love this video.
This is a great video.
God, see, this is once again her stronger AMA's aesthetic. Rock girl,
mm-hmm.
Like blonde, heavy metal badass.
On a motorcycle.
Motorcycle. Crawling through the wires. Mm-hmm. Like
smashing gritty. Guitars and the speakers.
She is a rock star, so I don't know why people say rock is dead.
Yeah. Also... Since I feel like we're giving you a lot of moments to stop and pause
this
episode because there's so much visuals here.
Yeah.
I would just like to say this, and I don't know why I feel like saying this, but it's just something that has always stuck with me. And so I just want to make this point.
Okay.
This music video, watch it, and then go look at a music video called I Don't Need a Man by the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Britney's Impact. I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah. It for sure.
Pretty much the same, except they did pink background. Hers was red.
Mm.
So her impact, just wanted to say that. The Pussycat Dolls slay.
Yes.
I am not, this is not a read.
Yeah.
I am just on the theme of Legends only.
Yeah, right.
Just, you know, connecting two dots.
Yeah. Britney, Melody Thornton.
Six Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who would later open for her?
Yes.
Such a good opening.
Oh, it really was.
We're fast forwarding too much.
God, I know. There's just this.
There's too much.
This year is so.
It's packed.
Too much of. No, this is not nothing. This is a lot. Okay, well, let's just call this episode fucking Legends Only. Speaking of another legend, Cinderella is the next.
You know how I feel about this one. This Cinderella
is one of my favorites,
is
I feel like.
Absolutely one of my favorites. It is a stan favorite among some circles. It is dark and weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a good song. And the bridge is so amazing. This is Britney playing the part of Cinderella, or not being your Cinderella, really. It's a feminist anthem.
It is.
And, you know, I think Cinderella should have been a single. I'm biased, but I think, like, the music video that would have come out of that would have been perfect.
This, I would say, I mean, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. It's mm-hmm. very telling of her in this moment, but this song was also a very, and it was angry.
Mm-hmm.
This, I mean, I just want to read some of the lyrics for those who may not recall. I don't want to, should I sing it?
From
time to time, I try to tell just what was on my mind. You told me not today. Which is clearly her saying, you know, she's been told to not speak her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Come back, do that, where Cinderella at, was all you had to say. It's clearly a moment where she's saying that Disney princess, which could literally, I mean, we could,
mm-hmm.
she
Let's infer.
Is, mm-hmm. In a way, a Disney princess, and she's angry, and she's running away from that, and she's been told what to do, told what to say, told how to feel, and she's not having it anymore.
It's very overprotected in mm-hmm. that way.
Overprotected. She's not a girl. She's not yet a woman. She mm-hmm. needs time. She needs... a moment that is hers. Yeah. I mean, this whole album is so...
Themes.
This is a cohesive message in this album,
it
which
really is.
As a kid, I feel like I didn't see it then.
No, they were just bops.
Yeah.
Bops
they were just
bops.
Iconic. I'm like, yes. And good performances. But now looking back, I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. I'm sorry, just trying to live my life. That's it. The spoken bridge of this song is so good. And like, she sounds possessed. I just love it.
Almost like a prequel to Mona Lisa.
Yes, completely.
Ish.
Yeah. And even connection to like Mannequin even. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of original Dalney in this.
Mm-hmm. Next track.
Yes.
Is Let Me Be. Again, just really says it.
So good. Yeah, it's true. I love the production on this song.
There was also a bit of confident-y in this one though.
Yeah.
This one wasn't necessarily an angry one.
Right.
She felt like she knew what she was doing and mm-hmm. she just wanted to do it and be left alone.
Completely. This is all sort of themed perfectly as an album.
Mm-hmm. Next track is Bombastic Love.
Right. Well, Bombastic Love doesn't quite fit the theme.
No.
I certainly, for years, assumed bombastic love was about an explosive love. As it turns out, it means a wordy love. Doesn't make any sense, no. Does it? I don't think the writers knew that. I don't think. Yeah.
This is almost weirdy.
Yeah.
Would you say?
Yeah. And it's going to be exactly like in a movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little corny.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's very cheesy.
It's the least grown of Britney, the album, thus far. Because even anticipating, while upbeat, is kind of a timeless song.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a group of people just misidentifying a word. And we're just pretending it's fine.
It's an odd one.
It's a
weirdly placed song, for sure.
It is. And that'll probably be the song she adds to the 2019 residency.
Oh, my God.
I would stand.
This one, it should have been on Baby.
It could have been. It could have been Baby.
I mean,
or
maybe it was like a leftover moment.
Yeah.
Next up, I mean, I feel like the last few from this album are very interesting.
Yeah, this gets into my favorites.
Yes. That's Where You Take Me.
Yeah, that's Where You Take Me is, it's like a nice little come down.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is so aggressive in a lot of the album that it's kind of nice to have a little escape.
Vocals. She brings back the vocals here.
With you, I get so high. Yeah.
I like that word. It is a nice come down from all the...
Yeah. It again, reminds me of Janet a little bit. And it's just kind of like a nice little escapade.
It is very Janet.
Yeah.
Now that you've been saying all of this, I'm like seeing it so much more in like a lot of these songs.
Yeah.
Hearing
She's baby Janet. Like every time somebody compares her to Madonna, I'm like, nope. She was always following the Janet template. Mm-hmm. Always.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of a come down, the next track, When I Found You. I love this song.
I love this song.
Sorry, would you like to repeat that?
That little beginning, you know, that noise?
Was that where you were? Oh, okay. I love this song.
Yeah, me too.
So much. It kind of reminds me of like a heaven on earth.
Yes.
Or like an unusual you.
Yes.
It's like a very light, love, free, angel-y moment. Yeah. Innocent and just sweet and pretty.
I agree with all of that. I think it is the beginning of a lot of her electronic experimental moments.
Her experimental electronic stuff is also some of my favorite
completely
tracks that she's ever done.
The bridge of this song is phenomenal. She just like suddenly gets tossed into this, like the beats swallowing her alive, and she sounds panicking. I don't know if people like know this one, but if you like skip to the bridge, like if you play it now, it's just like, just gets so chaotic.
Here come the vocals.
I don't know. For some reason,
I finally found you, baby.
For some reason, that song is very visual to me, and it just feels like she gets submerged in like these heavy beats, and then she's like, "When I found you," and she like gets out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. I don't know. I feel it very visually.
A very visual year, I would say.
Yes.
The next track. A lot of these ones, I will say, are really good and underrated. Yes. I Run Away.
Oh, yeah. And we should also mention that this is like various versions of the album have the,
yes,
the track listings kind of crazy for. Yeah. But we're talking about all the songs that were featured. I Run Away is one of her best ever for me. The production on this song is bananas. And then the way that her voice fucking sounds like a spinning Las Vegas thing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They like completely vocode the shit out of her. It's so cool.
It's very similar to When I Found You.
Yeah.
They're both
vocals.
We get vocals in both of them.
Yeah.
But it's the first time they really kind of, I don't want to say, actually, no, I feel like maybe this is one of the first times where they started to use electronic sounds mm-hmm. in an artistic way.
Yeah.
Not necessarily auto-tuning her to sound better.
Right.
But they did it as a... They used her voice and manipulated it to make new sounds.
Completely. In a very blackout way. I love the towards the end of this song when it just spins out of control. Ugh. God. I Run Away is so good.
That and When I Found You are underrated
mm-hmm.
gems. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
The next track, which I think is one of your favorites.
Yes, probably.
What It's Like to Be May.
May.
You know what it's like.
So, drama, Wade Robson... Justin Timberlake on a track, past, present, and alleged mm-hmm. sordid affairs. What It's Like to Be Me is like the grown-up version of Can't Make You Love Me. She's got the fame and everything, and she's on top of the world, and you don't know how hard it is.
Right. Also on this track, she is kind of battling for... She's like, you've got my heart to win before I let you in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the two... I mean...
Yeah.
I'm very curious your thoughts on this. So we're discussing Wade Robson
yeah.
and Justin Timberlake. And the drama that we're saying, so Britney was in a relationship with Justin Timberlake, obviously, power couple at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is alleged that Britney cheated on Justin with Wade,
mm-hmm.
who was her choreographer. So for the two of them to be a part of this song, and she's singing about... You've Got My Heart to Win Before I Let You In is very drama.
It really is.
This would be like if Manny Mua, Laura Lee, and Jeffree Star released a palette together to bring this to 2018 for some
of do you guys follow finally?
Would maybe understand. Kind of comparing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be if they released a joint palette together. That's kind of in comparison. This is a great breakdown too. I will say, at the time, even though I was a Backstreet Boys stan, there are a couple Justin Timberlake songs that were bops.
Yeah.
In this time period, credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Pop. Wait, was that NSYNC?
That was NSYNC. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well. Anyway, it's very Justin Timberlake influenced the breakdown, and it kind of goes off. I mean, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is, like, and I didn't really look into Wade's production that much because I didn't even consider that, but he co-wrote Pop for NSYNC and Gone and See Right Through You on Celebrity.
Ooh, the drama thickens.
Right? So he also co-wrote What It's Like to Be Me. Justin did the backup vocals. Very interesting love triangle there.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Let's throw this out here. On this podcast,
okay.
Since we're letting it all out, do you think that it's true that Britney Spears cheated on Justin Timberlake?
Oh my God, I feel like I'm in the hot seat. I feel like the answer is yes, but we don't really get to know if he also committed acts of infidelity.
True.
It could have been back and forth. I will say...
Mm-hmm. I also agree.
Yeah.
And I do think, and obviously when we get to In the Zone,
yeah.
I think based off of the response to Cry Me a River, I also agree that I think there might have been something there. Yeah. But yeah, I will say, I mean, it is one of those things where we may never know.
We may never know.
The full story.
We don't really get her perspective, and she would never throw him under the bus if there was anything.
And let's be real, he has kind of, throughout his moments with other artist,
mm-hmm.
it seems like he always comes out unscathed.
He really knows
compared
how
to the females.
Throw someone under the bus.
Yeah, he really does throw people under the bus and kind of get away with it.
Yeah. Historic.
And that's why Man in the Woods flopped. And that's a different story.
Karma.
I said it.
Oh, the charts said it. Well, actually it did really well, but then it flopped.
Oh.
It's fine. It didn't, what I should say is that like it had a strong opening, but then nothing impacted culture. You can have an album that is a huge first week and then nothing happens with it. Like it just doesn't mean anything.
True.
And I don't think it did. Anyway, this is not a Justin Timberlake podcast.
It is not.
There will never be.
But you know, it is a part of this year
mm-hmm.
and this song specifically. It is a very interesting
yeah.
song title, lyrics, trio
yeah
that are involved, and that you know just was what it was. We may never know the full story. But lastly on this album,
yes,
Before the Goodbye,
Before the Goodbye is one of my favorite songs ever from her, even though I have too many of those and I could never fit them all in top 10 very nicely. And I will constantly regret the ones I pick. Before the Goodbye is BT, which is crazy. He is an electronic mastermind. He does these incredibly layered songs.
So, I mean, even just their experiences. The artistry. I wouldn't even say that they're songs. It's like, these are, I love electronic music. Mm-hmm. And like BT, when I listen to his work, I see visuals. Like, I feel they're cinematic. They're gorgeous.
They're
like,
visceral.
They're more than just, you know, a song or like a single, I would say. They're sonic experiences.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And Before the Goodbye is no exception. It is a rare marriage of pop and left of center electronica. He's able to like bring himself into Britney's world. It's weird, as it should be. And he's so experimental for like this 19-year-old teeny bopper to be pairing with BT to making this kind of sound. It's a good indication of what she was going for in the zone.
Yes.
She wanted to get weird.
Yeah.
And this is so
and
good.
Kind of take control of her sound.
Yeah.
Which, you know, ties back into everything we were saying.
Completely.
With the earlier stuff of like, she wants to start, you know, steering the ship. And
yeah,
I'm interested to, I would be interested to know how this all came about.
Yeah.
Because I kind of can't see them putting her in the studio or like, it feels a little strange for them to have done. So maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think, you know, it was earlier in his career. Like, it,
right.
You know.
Oh, man, I would love for them to work together again.
Oh, God, I would live for that.
Which maybe, I mean, I feel like we've decided now that there needs to be a bonus episode where we talk about our
hopes
top
and
tens.
Dreams. Oh, our yeah. top tens.
Yeah, a top 10. And also
B10 hopes and dreams.
Yeah, B10 moments. Because as we go back through and we kind of touch back on all these songs that are, you know.
Yeah, I feel like Before the Goodbye is like evidence when people are like, why do you like her? It's not just Oops.
No.
It's not just Slave and the ones you know. Like, that is such a cool, weird song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like a casual person would be like, what
right.
is this?
She was never really respected as like an artist.
Yeah.
And this is really times where we start to see experimental stuff happening.
Completely. That kind of side of her wasn't showcased.
Yet. It's coming though.
Oh, it's coming.
But before, speaking of Before the
Goodbye. Before the Goodbye.
Before the Goodbye to 2001.
Yes.
Is there anything else that we did not cover? Because I really, this year is so overwhelming.
This year is very
overwhelming. Even drag us if there's something we missed, because.
Please leave your hate comments only under Kyle's mentions.
Go for it.
I know. This is the problem is like, there's too many. There were European performances. Mm-hmm. There are like so many things.
There really were so many performances from this year. Looks and TRL moments.
Yeah.
And it was really Britney overload. Not overload, but like on overdrive.
Overdrive, over protected, over to you now. For sure.
As I look at my note. There was, speaking of this era, I just wanted to give a shout out to the dancers of this era.
Hey. hey, guys.
Hey. Because, that's a good segue into next episode, which we were going to be discussing 2002.
Yeah.
Which we're going to do a more deeper dive into Dream Within a Dream Tour.
Dream Within a Dream.
But it's the same group of dancers that we're going to see on this DVD. And they were a part of every single performance that she did. You saw them at the Billboard Awards. You saw them on stage with her at the VMAs. Some of them were even there in 99.
Yeah.
And I will say it reminds me a lot of what we have now.
Yes.
It's like this family of dancers that were there with her through everything. We see them more next year in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, I always remember it as a kid having like my favorite dancer that she had. It was the one with the pink hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was just a lot. But that's a good site. Speaking of the dancers and everything, that's a great end of this year.
Yeah, the dancers will segue us nicely into the tour.
Yes, 2002.
Yeah.
Oh, but before we go, we need to, what's the knee?
What's the knee?
Tell me what's that knee. We gotta pick a knee.
We have to pick a
for
knee.
For 2001.
Okay, so for 2001, I am going to go with Fearless Knee.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, God, we're so alike.
A good choice.
I mean, how else can you really describe this year? She really did everything so fearlessly. Mm-hmm. I think that is the main thing we kept thinking while watching back the performances and just everything she conquered so damn well.
There was really no cracks here.
No cracks.
She went through, she had her angsty moments.
Yeah.
She powered through every performance. She went from superstar to fearless superstar.
Yeah. Fearless knee, flawless knee.
So we have pigtail knee.
Uh-huh.
Vocal knee, superstar knee.
Yeah.
And now we are getting fearless.
Fearless knee.
2001 fearless knee.
Yes, the eyes of the tiger.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Which we will be seeing later.
We will.
Numerous times.
Yes.
Dream Within a Dream, live from Las Vegas, 2002.
Vegas, coming
Join
soon.
Join us next episode. I'm T. Kyle. Tweet me at T. Kyle Mac.
And I'm Bradley. Tweet me. At Mew
Muse. Keep tweeting lotus flowers at Mew Muse.
Please stop harassing me.
We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.